at what we're looking at as the crisis of faith. Now, remember, when I talk about a crisis, you have to just, you know, we use certain words a lot of times, but dealing with Webster's definition of what a crisis is. And when a person goes through the crisis of faith, things will never be the same. They'll either harden in what they're doing, their list, their law, and as Hebrews chapter 6, probably never see it. People who come close to the crisis of faith and grace and love, but right now we're looking at faith. If you don't make it through and you harden in your list, in your law, in your doing, chances are from Hebrews 6 you'll not make it. You'll be so set in the way you see what Scripture is saying. But to those who do make it, you will have a new, unbelievable relationship with God. Not based on your performance, but based on just trusting Him. So let's prepare ourselves this morning for our study as we work now. Well, last Sunday we will not do this again, but we read in two accounts, just to warm you where we are. We're looking at two different men who have come to Jesus Christ. One man came to Jesus Christ and said, "Heal my son," and the other, which tells us he does believe that Jesus Christ can do this. He is a believer, and he believes that Christ can do that. That's, you say, boy, that's great faith. No, that's not great faith. That's not the faith God is looking for, because he says, you've got to come down physically with me and do it. He has conditional faith. Another man comes to Jesus Christ and says, "Heal my servant." And we just briefly looked upon servant and son. Who does that sound like? Who is both servant and son at the same time? But he comes down and says, "Heal my servant." Christ said, "Okay, I'll go with you." And he says, "No, you don't have to go." All right, he has gone through the crisis of faith, but he is going into the crisis of love. But he thinks he's unworthy for the Lord to walk with him. But right now we're looking at the crisis of faith and seeing these two men. So I'll be going back and forth. There's a reason I wanted to kind of remind you, and the reason we read them both last week together, so that we could go back and forth easily in making our comparisons and studying these two men. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes, that we can see what's going on in Scripture, see what kind of relationship God desires with and from us. Heavenly Father, we now enter into the strategic area of spiritual warfare, and that is the opening up of Scripture, far more dangerous than any other aspect of the Christian life. Not in fighting sin, doing a lot of things, Heavenly Father, but opening up the Scripture. It is here, Father, that we see how totally dependent we are upon your Spirit. For he was sent to teach and to illuminate and to open our eyes that we might see. We realize that it is impossible for us to correctly understand Scripture without his illuminating ministry. That we will use the flesh from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to interpret Scripture if we do not allow him to open our eyes and open our ears. But Father, we pray that he will do this thing this morning, that we might see the things that you would have us to see in the Scripture that is before us. Father, pray that you will also protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude and blind our faith, that we do not see. Squash, Heavenly Father, the flesh that would seek to usurp. Father, we pray these things that we might come to an understanding and seeing and grasping those things that you would have us to see. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Faith, like the Bible, is one of those words that is so fundamental to almost any denomination, any movement. In fact, the word faith doesn't even have to be of a Christian movement. It is one of those words that is indigenous and fundamental to so many any kind of a religious faith or movement, just like the Bible. You take almost any organization that comes under the Christian umbrella, and this is the authority, this is God's word, this is inerrant, infallible, and on and on and on. That does not mean they're going to see the truth. There are many people, there are people who will teach a salvation by works that will tell you this is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. And so just because they say that doesn't really mean that they're going to see the truth. And faith is the same type of thing here. Almost everyone understands the necessity of faith. There are a few who don't. I read a book just not that long ago where the author, the pastor even said, God does not want your faith. So those kind of people will put over here. They're doing their thing. But almost anyone does understand the concept of faith. But the question is, that is so important, is it the faith that God is looking for? That is a great issue. I think we could start and say, there's a lot of worship going on in the world today. Is it the kind of worship God is looking for? And I think we all know all worship is not worshiping in truth and in spirit. Just using that as a springboard. All giving is not the giving that God is looking for. And I'm talking about in a Christian realm, doing this as a Christian. Just because a Christian gives, it doesn't mean they're giving in the realm that God is looking for. We know that from a lot of different perspectives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give all that I own, do I even become poor to feed the poor, but do not have love? It profits me nothing. There's nothing there. It's not the giving God is looking for. So using that as a springboard for what we want to do, is the faith that someone has, is it the faith that God is looking for? Faith has no power. This becomes very important. This is why we're not, let me make this very clear. We are not saved by faith. We're saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Faith simply is the means of tapping into the person and work of Christ. But a person can have faith and not be saved. It's not the faith God is looking for. So this becomes very important. And most people have what is called really a conditional faith, as we're seeing in our study. A conditional faith, and the faith that God is looking for is unconditional faith. Unconditional faith. For an example, let's go back, as is our pattern, because it's from the scriptures that we do this. We go back to salvation one, eternal life salvation, salvation at the cross. And I emphasize different ways of saying it because the word salvation and deliverance is also used for the believer in the Christian life. A person, are they saved by faith only and faith alone in the person of Jesus Christ? This is the faith that God is looking for. Unconditional. No, you've got to do this and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. That's not the faith God is looking for. And we know that. We know that. The faith that God is looking for is faith or trust, same word, faith in Him, God. This is again, and I just want to, 30 seconds of your time, this is why it's important that Jesus Christ is God. A lot of Christians will jump up and down, boy, Jesus is God, Jesus is God, and I'm glad they fight that, I'm glad they believe that, but I'd like you to know, why is that important? So what? What if He were not God, but still died on the cross for our sins? What is the issue with Him being God? Vital to our faith. And what God is looking for is a faith in Him, a trust in Him. Faith alone and only in Christ. Faith alone and only in the Holy Spirit. The two standings by God the Father. A lot of people have faith, but what their faith is, and I'm talking here as Christians now, let's go to the believer. They will claim, our whole movement, our deal is faith. But what is it the faith that God is looking for? Their faith is in what they do, and then that God is going to bless them, take them out of sin, bless them in some way, because they've done this. That's not the faith God is looking for. But they will say, I'm doing faith. I have, I have, for example, coming out of sin. I have repented. I have confessed. I have felt sorry. I have done this. I have done that. And therefore, God is going to restore me. That's not the faith God is looking for. That is a faith in what you do. The faith that God is looking for is a faith that joins us into a relationship with Him. See, people, in the human realm, a relationship word in the human realm, the strongest word we have for relationship and intimacy in the human realm is love. Love between a man and woman, family, friends, there is a love. That's the strongest relationship word we have. But the strongest relationship word we have with God is faith. Now, what flows out of that is the living waters of love from the power of the Spirit. But our relationship with God is one of faith. Faith is what joins us with God. If my left hand here, this is the whole unbeliever, the entire unbeliever. And what we offer to God is simply our faith. And that's the only thing that the hand of God comes down and says, I'll take that. And see what happens? We're now joined with Him. And He saves. Faith is a relationship word. It brings us into an intimacy with Him. And this is why I'd like you not only to know that it is by faith, but why is it by faith? And is your faith the faith that God is looking for? Because everyone will talk about, almost everyone will talk about faith. But what we have to look at is this the faith God is looking for? Is this the faith that God desires from us? Faith in God personally. Faith dealing, coming into a relationship with Him. And this is what we're in the midst of looking at in our study of the crisis of faith. In the crisis of faith, for the believer only, the series is for the believer only, there is a form of a crisis of faith for an unbeliever where they come to the point, you mean all I have to do is just trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. But what about, and then they give their list that their denomination or movement has had them to do. And they come, they have to, they're at the crisis of faith. Am I going to just, all I have to do is just trust in the Son of God, the first enemy. And you'll save if I do that. And so they go through this. But what we're looking at is for a person who is saved, but then in their Christian life has gone into some kind of program, some kind of system, something where they have to do something for God other than just trust Him. So we're in the first thing is the crisis of grace. We've gone over it enough times. I think this is our fourth or fifth lesson here on the crisis of faith. So I hope you're a little bit familiar with the crisis of grace, which then takes you to the crisis of faith, which changes your whole relationship with God. Crisis of grace changes your view of God. Crisis of faith changes your relationship with God. Crisis of faith is most painful. Most painful. Something wonderful has to die. All right, let's open now to our first look. We're looking at two different people, two different men, going through the crisis of, well, they're going through various crises. Look with me at John 4. John chapter 4, which is where we're in the midst of looking now in our series. So John 4, we have read this in just a quick reading last Sunday, and now we're ready to go through and start examining a few things in regard to this. This is not going to be so much a word-by-word thing, but I want to go through and look at the crisis of faith that this man is going through. John 4:46. Let's just jump right into it. He came, therefore, he, Jesus Christ, came, therefore, again to Cana Galilee, where he had made the water wine. That first miracle. So important is to correctly understand the miracle. It is not that he changed water into wine. You miss it if you think that's it. Just like if you think the healing of this man's son is the great thing here. The son at this point is just the object used here, much like the water and wine that we could see many other things. So there's a reason why John mentions the water made into wine, and we'll come to that at the end of this section of study. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And we've noted Capernaum already. It's a place of comfort. It's a wonderful place when you go through the crisis of faith. Comfort that you have in your relationship with God instead of performance. Instead of I have to do for Him. And His son, and we've already noted who is the son and different things and another thing going on in this study. Verse 47. When he heard, this is the royal official, that Jesus had come out to Judea into Galilee, he went to him in person. Okay? Just right now, get in your mind. He's going to him in sight. He's going to him in sight. Got to see. And was requesting him to come down, all of these are key words, and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Well, again, if we were in another momentum of study, the son at the point of death, what does that sound like, look like? Of course, Jesus Christ at the cross, and that's a whole other thing going on here. But right now, if you will, let's just concentrate on the royal official in Jesus Christ. But there's something very powerful going on in the spiritual warfare here. But we'll save that for another time. Okay. Now, he's at the point. Here, this man is now entering the crisis of faith. Jesus Christ has to come down. His son is at the point of death, a hopeless, helpless situation. This is our condition. And Jesus Christ has to physically be there. This man is a believer. He believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah. Beyond that, this man believes that Jesus can actually heal his son. Prevent his son from dying. Now, many Christians will think, that is it. This man has arrived. That is phenomenal faith. He believes that Jesus can and will heal his son. That's phenomenal faith. This man is alive. This man isn't even close. He's getting ready to enter into a brief look, a snapshot of the crisis of faith. Now we come to the question, should Jesus Christ go down with this man and heal his son? That becomes our question. Now, in this great thing that I personally, and I've been a little bit warned, don't make a big deal and negative, and I do agree with that. But when you see something that I think is harming our children, our teenagers, this WWJD stuff, it's so, so horrible to think I can know what Jesus Christ would do. The only answer to that is walk by faith in the Spirit, because it was the Spirit who led Christ. But what would Jesus Christ do here? I know what Jesus Christ would do. Jesus Christ is compassionate, isn't he? Jesus Christ is loving. This man is begging. This man hurts. His son is dying. Jesus Christ can heal. Therefore, I know what Jesus Christ would do. Jesus Christ would go down with this man and heal his son. This is what Jesus Christ would do. But people, this is exactly what Jesus Christ does not do. He does not go down with this man. For Christ knows what's going on inside of this man and where this man is spiritually. In fact, Jesus Christ refuses to go down with this man. And people, please understand, it would be so easy for him to go down and heal his son. That is so easy. But please understand, the healing of the son is not the issue here. It's this man. It's us. Where we are spiritually. The son is not the issue at this point in our study. We can look at it another way and study the son and servant. But right now, the son isn't the real issue. This man, what this man is going through is the real issue. Something more important, believe me, listen, something more important than healing this man's son is going on here. Far more important. And a lot of people fail to see what really is going on, but Christ knows what's going on inside of this man. Most people would say that this man has arrived. He believes that Jesus Christ could and would heal his son. But if we'll let the Spirit open our eyes, this man has a long journey to go through. He's much like Job in Job 1:1. This is why very few people correctly understand Job, because they look at Job 1:1 and they say, well, he's arrived. Job 1:1, we've looked at it, so you're familiar with it. Job 1:1, he's blameless, he fears God, he runs from evil, does all this stuff. He's alive. And that's why most people say the book of Job is about why do the righteous suffer. Far from it. Job isn't even close in 1:1. His whole basis of relationship with God is by sight. As long as I am blameless, as long as I run from evil, as long as I do all these things, I'm okay with God. He's not even close. And God has taken Job, 42 chapters journey. Job, will you just trust me? Don't do for me. Trust me. He's walking by sight. Job was walking, first book of the Bible, first thing God wants us to know. crucial book. And it goes all the way through Scripture. Look at the disciples. As we've studied a little bit, we'll be noting it more and more. The presence of Jesus Christ with those men, oh, isn't that wonderful? They walked with the Lord. Oh, if I could just walk with the Lord and all of this stuff. It was weakness. Jesus Christ being there with the disciples weakened them. They were walking by sight. They will never get to where God wants them as long as He did. That's why I have to depart. I've got to leave so that the Spirit will come. But you'll learn to walk by faith. Something precious has to die when you're learning to walk by faith. Now, in our study here, so often, sickness, disaster of another believer, really isn't the real issue going on. Now, this is hard when it's somebody you love or yourself that is sick, dying, going through some great crisis in life, suffering in life. God really here is dealing with somebody else. And sometimes you may be the one in the suffering state, and it isn't even about you. This is why I encourage you, be careful judging one another. Because you don't know all that's going on, what God is doing. The Son, and I'm going to just state it blatantly, Son isn't the issue right now. His sickness, all these things, it's not the issue. God is using that for something else. See, there's a false movement called the faith movement. That if you have enough faith, you won't be sick. If you have enough faith, that person wouldn't be sick. See, that is what? That's work. That's making, the value is faith. Enough faith. Like, you gotta have so much. That's false. And that is not only false in the ideal of faith, but it's false in the view of God and sickness. God uses sickness in a lot of ways. In fact, if you remember our study in Galatians, the whole area of Galatia, all those churches are founded. Why? Because Paul was sick. Paul had no intention of staying in the area of Galatia. He tells you that. But he became ill again. And it was no accident that he became ill in that area. Because Paul was going to go on. God said, no, I want you here. We're going to do something here. So he used Paul's sickness. Now, here we have a sick son about to die. But this isn't the real issue. This is why sometimes when we go through prayer during the week, what we'll do is when a name comes up, a person going like David McNeil, we went through, okay, what do we want to pray about David, Linda, all the people around them? What's going on? Not only for that person, but all those people around that person. Because so often that may be the one that God is really dealing with as here. Now, how do we know this man is not even close? That's a pretty bold statement. Look what Jesus Christ says. This is powerful. Look what he's going to say now. Verse 48. Jesus therefore said to him, unless you people see, there it is, walking by sight, see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Wow. Instead of what we might think of compassion and mercy, as we generally think of it, Jesus Christ speaks rather abruptly to this man. This man is calm believing. I'm sure that some people, if it wasn't Jesus, they'd want to criticize him. Boy, wait a minute. This man believes. Wait a minute. Hey, just stand over here a minute. I know you're the Son of God and the Messiah, but let me just talk with you a minute. Maybe you don't understand us humans here. This guy believes you can do it. This guy's hurting. And here you are abruptly talking to him in this manner. You don't see what's going on. What is occurring here? Okay. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Now, for the eye that will see, there's a lot going on, just like in Job 1:1. That sounds great. Looks like Job has arrived. Job is right where God wants it. Job isn't even close, and neither is this man. This royal official, like Job, like the disciples, like Mary, like Martha, is walking by sight. Conditional faith. Just like people who have a list of what they've got to do. I've got to do this before God will restore from sin. I've got to do this before God will restore or bless. I've got to do, and it's some kind of list, something that I can either do verbally or physically or something. And if I do this, then God can do whatever I want Him to do. Walking by sight. Conditional faith. And that's where this man is, conditional faith. Now, let's look at a few things here that are important. Look at the adverb, therefore. Jesus, therefore, said to him. This is a very important Greek conjunction. It assumes several things that are not here recorded. It's almost right out of a Greek grammar book. It assumes things not here recorded. Now, the principle is what is now said by Jesus Christ, by the Lord, is due to what is going on inside of this man. The Son, he doesn't even talk about the Son. We could talk about a lot of things Christ could have said. Well, what are you worried about death? Don't you know that when we die, we go to be with the Father? Da, 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 da. That would have been great. But then you've been talking about the Son. He's talking about this man. He is the issue. This man's faith. So the adverb, therefore, lets us know there's a lot more going on than what we have here. There's something going on inside of this man, between this man and God. Between this man and his relationship with God. I say that because I want to remind you, why did Jesus Christ come? To save us? Okay. But I hope that your mind now goes a little richer. He came to restore us to God. He came to reconcile us with God. He came to give us a relationship with God. The wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has come to do. Not just to save in that. And that is a true answer, but that's not what it's about. It's about being restored in a relationship and intimacy. This is what God is looking for, people. He wants an intimacy with you. And so often Christians think it's by me doing something for him, some performance. And God is saying, no, it's about trusting. It's about loving. That's what it's about, not performance. So that's the crisis of faith that we're studying here. This man is about to enter. In fact, he's in his journey, the crisis of faith. His entire faith is about to change. People, let me put it stronger, his relationship with God is about to change. Water to wine, here's this miracle, changing. This man is about to be changed in his relationship with God, from walking by sight to walking by faith. And as we go through this, every now and then, just to bring you to the reality of yourself, is your faith dependent upon you doing something? Or is your faith simply in him, just as it was at the cross? I did nothing. I trusted him. Is this your relationship with God now? Just trust him. And he will restore from sin. He will bless. He will do the things that we're talking about in our Christian life. Okay. Now the next thing to look at. Unless you people. Alright. Forget the word people. It is not in the original. The New American Standard and the NIV put it there. But if any of you have hung in there fighting for the old King James, and you have the King James, you'll know that it is not there. Anybody still have the King James? Oh, good. We still have some King James people. Okay. And it's not there. You don't have the word people, so you don't have to even consider this little deal I'm dealing with. But the NIV and the NASB, for some reason, put in the word, I know why, but they put the word people there. It's not there. The King James here is correct in this case. It does not apply. As the point is, yes, it applies to the Jews and Gentiles of the Northern Kingdom as well as everywhere else. But right now, this is personal. This is between this man and Jesus Christ. And it really says, unless you. Then it says, see. People, I point those things out because I want you to understand the crisis of faith is personal. This is why, generally speaking, you go it alone. And I'm going to be talking about that periodically because Job was alone. David alone. Peter alone. This man alone. And it's so important to understand why you're alone, because you're generally, your fellowship is with Christians who are doing something, and then all of a sudden you're going through the crisis of faith and you begin to see what we're doing is not correct. And you're going to be the only one that sees it because you're going through it alone. It's generally, rarely do a lot of people see it. A few people might, but rarely do a lot of people see the issue. But what God is looking for is just to trust him. So generally, you're in a group that has a list. You're going through the crisis of faith, and you're the only one. And also, you're alone because it emphasizes, are you going to trust me? Even though no one else around you sees it, See, Job's friends were attacking him. Job, you're losing it. You're losing it. You're losing it. Job's going through something powerful. And he has to go through it alone. Now, look what he says. See signs and wonders you will not believe. All right, this man is in the crisis of faith. Look at what it says. See. All right, what is he doing here? What does it tell you? Right up front. It tells us he's walking by sight. He's walking by sight. It's that clear. I hope every one of you have to see. Walking by seeing. The disciples, how were they walking? They're walking by sight. Where's Jesus going? Oh, he's going over here. Where is he? Well, I think he went across the sea. Okay, let's go over there. I think he went up on the mountain. Let's go there. We've got to see. Mary and Martha, got to see. Got to see. I got to repent. I got to see. I got to confess. I got to feel sorry. I got to walk a mile. I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Condition of faith is walking by sight. Not the faith God is looking for, people. It's not a faith in what I do. So this is a very important word, walking by sight here. Got to see. All these people at this time that we're taking a look at. What are the Jews in the first century? Just keep your mind fresh, let me say. There's the temple with all the rituals and all that stuff, the sacrifice. It's got to go. The most wonderful, loving things God ever did was remove that temple. Wasn't judgment. It's a blessing. Got to get, something precious has to die. Something precious has to be removed. And you're going through the crisis of faith. The presence of Christ. The temple. Sacrifices. Whatever your list is. Whatever your deal is that you've got to do. You've got to let go of it. And but there's always a fear. Well, if we don't have the temple, what are we going to do? If we don't have Jesus Christ physically here, what are we going to do? If I don't have this, what am I going to do? That's a great question, because it generally means you're going through the crisis of faith. If I don't do this, then what am I going to do? And the answer is very soft and very gentle. Trust me. Ooh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. Just trust me. Yeah, but... Just trust me. There's a fear. Job, all the way through Scripture, there's a fear when you go through crisis of grace that something... If you've been holding on to it, if you've been doing some ritual, something, and you got to let it go, it's got to die. It's got to be taken away so that you'll learn, just trust me. Just as you did at the cross. All I did was believe in Jesus Christ. I believed in the one thing. Boom. Saved. That's where I want you to live. Okay. So that's what's going on here. He's walking by sight. So here the man believes that Jesus Christ can heal, but Jesus Christ must physically be there. He believes what? He believes in the power of the presence of Jesus Christ. His physical presence. Just as the disciples did. Many believe in the power of physical presence. But what if he is not there? What is the faith that God is really looking for from us in our lives? People, this is so important. The faith that God is looking for, because you're going to run into anybody. Oh, our church has faith. We believe faith. Ours is faith. But is it the faith that God is looking for? For example, is it the worship God is looking for? I think when we went through John 3, must worship in spirit and in truth. There's false worship. All worship, it's a Sunday. All worship across the world is not worship that is going to be acceptable to God. And we know that. We don't want to walk around and, well, yours isn't and yours is. That's not the point. We're not the judge. But we deal with the principle that all worship is not going to be acceptable to God. So is it the worship that God is looking for? Prayer. Just because somebody prays to God, does that mean God is going to hear, answer all these things? No. Most of us understand that. Giving. Is it the giving that God is looking for? People, there are a lot of people who give. America is characterized by giving. I mean, the amount of money that is spent on giving to organizations and movements and various programs and everything from some helping dog society to the Heart Association. There's just so many people. If you're looking for something wonderful to give money to, it is there. It is there. Just don't let it be known, or you'll have 55 people or 100 people calling you, telling you about their organization. So all you need to do is come into a lot of money, and you'll start watching the mail come in. But America's characterized by a tremendous amount of altruism. We're not a stingy nation. And I'm talking about the people in it. But what this discussion here is about, spiritual, that which is acceptable to God, brings glory to God, blessing to you in your Christian life, these kinds of things, is all giving acceptable to God? No, we know that. Just as I said earlier, if there's not spiritual love, which means what? Walking by faith in the Spirit, because he pours his spiritual love, it's nothing. So we know that all giving is not. We know that from life. We know that as parents, to children, bribing. We know it from a man-woman relationship. He's just giving because, you know, we know what he wants as a woman. We know what he wants. We know why he's giving. Strings attached. Parents give sometimes with strings attached. People give with strings attached. And boy, let me tell you something, people. When they nudge on that string, it's going to hurt. You accept giving with strings, and then they nudge on that string, wake you up. Sometimes you don't even need to wake up, then you know. Now, the same thing is true of faith. Is all faith the faith that God is looking for? No. It is not the faith that God is looking for. It is not just faith, but it is faith in him personally. It is not faith in what I do. This is why I make it so important here. Faith does not save or deliver. It doesn't. What does save and deliver is the work of Jesus Christ. That's what saves. We tap into that. We receive that by means of faith. But it's so important to realize there's nothing magical. There's no power in faith. Faith has no power. In the opposite. But just because a person has faith, it may not be the faith God is looking for. You know, worship may not be acceptable. Prayer may not be heard. Giving not accepted by God. And so what we want to do is, I want my faith effective. I want it to tap in. I want it to pull. I want worship and prayer and giving to be that which is acceptable to God. So here we're looking at the faith issue. So God doesn't respond to faith, just faith out there. The faith that God is looking for. And again, what a lot of people have this idea is, I am doing faith because I am doing what God wants me to do. It's this whole thing that we have studied several times, where God says, if you do for me, then, it's been a while since we looked at this, then I, God, will do for you. And we're all different denominations and movements and pastors and things disagree on. If, oh, by the way, we're going to have promise. Trust me. This is a very important part of this little equation here. Trust me. So see, I'm walking by faith. I'm trusting God. And where all of these different movements disagree and debate with one another and go back and forth, what do you have to do for God? That's what the debate is. We can show you in the Bible where this is what you have to do. No, we can show you in the Bible where this, we have five verses. Well, we have five verses. Well, we have five verses. Don't get into a Bible battle with people, because remember, the Bible is written that way on purpose in Isaiah 28. If you want to see something, it's written there. And then they're doing faith. See, God promised, and I trust him. I walk by the, what does it say? If I do this, then God will do for me. That's not the faith God is looking for. The faith God is looking for is, I will do for you. Promise. Trust me. There's a big difference in these two. Big difference. This one just says, trust me. Where did you see this? You learned this at the cross. You were saved by what? Simply faith. Just trusting in Jesus Christ. That's trusting in the one he sent. That's how you're going to live your life. Trusting in the one that he sends. So this man, like many believers throughout church history, does not believe that if Jesus Christ is not there personally, physically, he won't be here. Jesus has to be there. He believes that he can and will, but he has to be there physically. And this man is going to have to go home alone. The home alone, as it were, just trusting. Now, it's not really alone, but it's going to look that way. Once you let go and something precious dies, it's going to look like you're alone, like Job. But you're really not. So here Jesus Christ refuses to go down with the man. He's going to walk alone. And again, we ask the question, why won't Jesus Christ go down with him? Why will not this compassionate, loving Savior go down with him? This is the crisis of faith. Jesus Christ is going to take this man to the point of just trusting. He is walking by sight. People, this is what walking by sight is all about. It doesn't exclude faith. Walking by sight doesn't exclude faith, but it has conditional faith. Faith that depends on seeing, doing. I believe that if I do this or see this or experience this, then I trust God to do for me. And a statement I hope you're getting tired of hearing now, this is not the faith God is looking for. Let's stop and talk about it, because this to me is so important that you see it. How many times do we know, and I'm going to pick on the man here. I could pick either one, but I'll pick on the man. Married, I love you. But it's not the kind of love she wants or needs or looking for. I really love you. Inconsiderate, controlling, and then just go on with the list. And just do kind of what I want. It's not the love I'm looking for. I know you say you love me, but that's just not the kind of love I want. It's not the kind of love I need. Now, that's in the human realm. But he loves. But it's not the love she's looking for. It's not the love that she needs. It's not what love does in reality to her soul. But this is what we're dealing with this faith, people. Oh, but I'm trusting you, God. But it's not the faith that's going to join us together. It's the faith that emphasizes you. You've got to do something. You've got to perform. You've got you. Now, I want a faith that trusts me. I want a relationship with you that's non-performance except on my part. I want to perform for you as I did at the cross. So this is where this man is going through right now. He must see. He's like the disciples and Job and so many people. He's walking by sight. People through church history right up to this day, needing their sight. They need their laws and their lists and their rituals, their doing. Now look at Christ said, unless you see signs and wonders. Let's just quickly look at signs and wonders. Sign, what is that? Sign of feeling what he is. Pure feeling. Wonder, the Greek word means an omen. These words do not differ, do not really refer to different classes of miracles, people. They really deal with different aspects of the same miracle. The same concept, but different aspects that are important. They refer to the fact that they must be seen for one to believe or one to come to that point. The Greek word teros is derived from the Greek word meaning, now this is great. The Greek word teros is the Greek word meaning to keep or to watch. Meaning that what is being done due to its character is to be watched, is to be observed and kept in memory. And therefore, hopefully, leading to faith. And this is what man must see in order to believe. This is what the disciples and others must see to believe in regard to his presence. This is what Job needed. Proof of God's approval by his own life. I am blameless. I run from evil. I do all this. And this is why I'm upright with God. This is why God and I have a good relationship. No, it isn't, Job! You're not even close. It's not your righteousness and your purity and your running from evil and your blamelessness. And it took Job 41 chapters of suffering. Come to the humble point. I retract everything I said. Your God, I trust. Whatever. Bingo. By the way, I just parentheses for you. Dealing with that, I just realized something phenomenal in the last chapter of Job. The second part of the last chapter of Job, he's going through the crisis of love. He's made it to the crisis of faith. Remember we've seen how that begs you right into the crisis of love? Okay, he's going through it, And that's with his three friends who have been attacking, maligning, and judging, and criticizing, and just slam dunking him. Once he makes it through the crisis of faith, what's he going to do with his three friends? And it blew my mind. We're going to have a lot of fun with the crisis of love. Let's see how Job dealt with those who judged him in the crisis of love. But that's something coming out that's powerful. You might want to read it. It is just so beautiful. After he makes it with God in the crisis of faith, he immediately goes into a picture of the crisis of love. Now, what are you going to do with those who have really been judging you and maligning you and attacking you and all of this stuff? What are you going to do, Job? Because I'm going to let them have it. And that's God just, it's not even really so much the friends, what they've done that God is saying that. This is all between Job and God. I believe it almost so. Between Job and God. I'm going to let them have it, Job. I'm going to get them for you, Job. Boy, I'm going to get them for what they did to you. And then Job's got to go through the crisis of love now. Remember, when you go through the crisis of love, your relationship with others changes. Crisis of faith, your relationship with God changes. Crisis of love, your relationship with others changes. Okay. Now, so the sign has to be watched, and then hopefully will beg and lead to faith. Then they believe. This is why so many Christians say they walk by faith today. But it isn't. It's their list. It's not a faith in God. God the Holy Spirit. The faith in what they do. They have to do something. This is not the faith that God is looking for. This is not the faith he was looking for from this man. People, this is not the faith he's looking for salvation won at the cross, is it? I think every one of us understands this isn't the kind of faith God wants at the cross. Need to believe in him plus something, plus doing, plus performing. Every one of us has said no. I hope we would. Just trust him. And he says, well, this is the type of faith he's looking for in your life. Just trust the one I sent. Now look at our passage. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now here we come to the crisis of faith. Not believe. This is not referring to eternal salvation here. This is faith in living what we call the Christian life, the spiritual life. Moving to this stage in life. Something important has to die to move to this place in your life, in your new relationship with God. So many people claim to have a relationship with God, but it is not the relationship they want. People, a lot of people claim to have a relationship with their husband and wife. I wonder, how many really do in this country? Let's just stay with America. I wonder how many really have the relationship of husband and wife that the whole thing of marriage is designed for. I would dare say not very many. But we claim to. We claim to have a relationship with God, but is it the relationship that God wants? What if you didn't perform? What if you didn't do your conditions and you're performing and you're walking by sight? What will God do? God will let you know that you're walking by sight and not just trusting him. What he wants is a crisis of faith, will you just trust me that I will do for you? So this man is going through the crisis of faith. Look at the word. You will not believe. To steal. Now, this is not referring to an act of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, which results in eternal salvation. This is about his life and about our lives. Now, let me give you a quick example. Just a quick one. We all spent a lot of time here. But if you will look at John 14, we'll just stay here in John. We could go to other places in the Bible and spend several hours. But I hope that just a few examples will give you a clue of what faith this is. John 14, upper room. The ones who are here now are all believers in Christ. Judas has left. These are all the believers. There are 11 disciples here now. In the upper room, verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Why is their heart troubled? Because he's going to leave. He's going to leave. They're walking by sight, is leaving. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, this is not saving faith. These men are saved. Look at verse 10 through 12 of the same chapter. Do you not believe? This is not saving faith. This, people, what our life is about faith. The faith that God is looking for. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That's our union model. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. I know some people have trouble believing in the Holy Spirit because, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come to glorify himself. People needed to Jesus Christ. Here you have it. He didn't come to glorify himself. He came to glorify the Father, and yet we believe in him for salvation. Okay, verse 11. Believe me, over and over, but this isn't for salvation. This is for their Christian life, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is for the believer. This is not unbeliever. It's for the believer. He will do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Just look at chapter 16 for one more. Chapter 16, verse 31. Chapter 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Now, all I wanted to show you here was that this word and this whole challenge of faith and walking by faith is all through the Scriptures. It's not just for the unbeliever. It's really primarily, in a lot of its uses, for the believer himself, the disciples are saved. Faith is an issue. Let me show you. We're going to be seeing more of this. Faith is an issue in eternal life salvation, or salvation one, if you please. And what I really believe God is doing, in part, I believe what God, the reason that God has set it up this way, because we know he could have set it up any way he wanted. I believe God set it up this way with just this one little single act of faith, making it very simple as to how you're going to live. This is how you enter into the whole plan. This is how I want you to live. It's the same way that you entered. And so he made it very clear that so that we could, yes, all I did to be saved was I trusted in him. Bingo! That's the way I want you to live. Just trust in the one I sent. I sent my son, I sent my spirit. Here's my son, God, my spirit, God, just trust. And they will do the work. This is all you did, this is all I want you to do in your life. So this is the way that the word faith is used here. Faith in the first ending, Jesus Christ, great crisis for many unbelievers. Faith in the second ending, the Holy Spirit, still a great crisis for many believers. You just trust me. Now, Jesus Christ refused to go down, increases the intensity, now watch, increases the intensity of this man in his need, now watch, this is so beautiful in the crisis of faith. What's going to happen now? It's going to be intense. He's losing, and he sees it, he realizes this isn't going to happen. And boy, when you start losing, when your hands start letting go of what you've been walking by sight, it gets more intense. It's more drastic, and things are intense now in this man. His need to see. It increases the turmoil that's going on inside. Look at verse 49, please. And please appreciate this man. The intensity that's going on. Jesus Christ has just said, you need to see, and all this stuff, and he's not catching it yet. And he's entering into this, he's in this crisis of faith where there's fear and turmoil. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. You've got to come down. Now, very quickly, here the translators have let us down again. They've made a decision for us, and again, it's an inaccurate decision. See the word sir? That's the word kurios. That should be translated Lord, just as it is in our Matthew study of the centurion. This man's a believer. This man is a believer. They have made an arbitrary decision translating it, sir. It can be translated, sir. But they have made an arbitrary decision to translate it, sir, here, but in Matthew, translate it, Lord. This man's a believer. So let's just go with that. Lord, anointed of God, Savior, Messiah. He does believe Jesus is Lord. He believes Jesus is God. But understand, this is not enough. This is not enough. Lord, come down before my child dies. He is desperate. I hope you hear it in his voice. He is pleading. Just like people do when they have to give up their list. It hurts. It's painful. That's why some never make it. They're not going to give up their list. They're not going to give up their doing. Just as the Jews, they've got to have that temple. They've got to have the sacrifices. They've got to have the law. They've got to have all that stuff. And just because the temple's gone, all this stuff, it is a traumatic experience. Job went through it. David went through it. And you realize, all I want you to do, God is saying, just that. What do I do about what? And to let go of it. So this man is desperate. Lord, come down before my child dies. Jesus Christ does not go with this man. Now, remember I told you there's a lot going on here, something going on in the spiritual realm where the sun is dying, picture of Jesus Christ. If we want to see it, look at the words, come down, come down. Be there physically. This man's faith is conditioned. It's conditional faith. His faith right now, not going in a little bit, but right now depends on the physical presence of the Lord. Just like a lot of Christians, faith depends upon them doing something. He is on the journey of the crisis of faith. It will be totally new before this is over. Totally new, what this man is getting ready to go through. Now, just keep you kind of in the back of your mind rolling on a whole other wonderful thing going on here. We have a son dying, and here is God the Father, author of the plan, and we'll put God the Son, and God the Son comes down. God the Father sends the Son down. So we have another great thing going on here. But what I want you to see here is, just look at this. Why did he come down? What did Paul tell us in Romans? What did he call it? A demonstration. Excuse my handwriting, just to get the idea. A demonstration of love. Jesus Christ came down. God could have saved us any way he wanted, people. But what is so beautiful, I just want you to learn some more about your God here. Alright, for those of you that want to see, I will give you a demonstration of my love. Here it is, demonstration. What's a demonstration? I guess a lot of you have gone to some kind of conventions or something. There's a demonstration. Maybe in science class, a demonstration. I want to see it. I want to see what that's like. So, okay. I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to come down in the form of man. I God, I'm going to come down in the form of man, and I'm going to die on a cross, bearing your sins, so that you will see my love. You want a demonstration of it? Here it is. I'll give it to you if you want to see it. Those of you that need to see my love, here's a demonstration of it. This is how great my love is. This is the expanse of my love. This is where my love begins for you. So many people want to deal with the righteousness and justice of God, and that's how they live their whole life. And they have a problem with the conflict. The people, the conflict is resolved at the demonstration. He took care of all the justice and righteousness there, and now very few are cheated out of this love, and are cheated by the churches, because they're not taught to walk by faith in the Spirit, where love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, all I want you to see here is, and I won't spend a lot of time here, but for the eye that will see, there's something going on. The Son. And now it says, come down. And what is it coming down? Coming down so that you can see. So this man needs Jesus Christ to what? Come down. What? So he can see. He wants to see Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Take him by the hand. Walk with him down there. And watch him. Watch Jesus stand over his son. And yeah, I want to see it. I've got to have conditional faith. Okay. You need it? God said, okay. I'll come down. I, God, will come down in the form of man. And I'll die so that you can what? Demonstration of my love. Okay. I hope that you get a glimpse of that aspect of what's going on. Now, before my child dies. Okay, where have we seen this before? Look at John 11 with me. John 11. Because this is over and over. You know, it's just like so many things that we do study. It's over and over. Once your eyes are open to things, you see it over and over through Scripture. It's one of the most beautiful things of seeing that the faith issue that we're talking about and not doing and just trusting in the Spirit. You begin with Job, and it's just boom, 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 boom. But if I want to see law, I see that everywhere. If I want to see that I have to do, I see that everywhere. The Bible is written that way on purpose. Look at John 11. Let's look at verse 21. Let's look at John 11, verse 21. And see if we can do. Martha, now Martha is Lazarus' sister, Mary. Mary and Martha are Lazarus' sister. Lazarus is about to die. Very sick. And they got rid of Jesus. Jesus, your friend whom you love, is dying. Come down now. What's Mary and Martha walking by? He's got to come down. Jesus on purpose. What? He doesn't go down. On purpose. See, but the story is all through. It's just so beautiful when we put aspects of the crisis of faith together. All right, look what they say in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if she believes he's Lord, don't miss it. She's a Christian. She believes he's Lord. There's our conditional faith. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's the way most Christians live. If you do this, then God will do it. If you will confess, if you will repent, if you will do this, if you will go there, if you will do all these things, boy, then that's what it's got to take. And it's got to be this. And whatever our church list is, whatever our church, our denomination is, if you got to do, you got to do to either be saved eternally, to be saved experientially, or to be blessed of God in some blessing. If you do this, God will bless. If you do that, God will bless. People who set the phenomenon of God. It's not a matter of taking these things away from the disciples and Job and from this man that we're studying. It's a matter of giving them something phenomenal. A view and a relationship with God that you've never had. This is what God wants. He desires a personal, intimate relationship, not based on performance, based on his love towards you and your faith response to that love. That's the kind of God. And I'm so sorry that so few people know this God. Look at Martha said. Martha said to him, Jesus, said to Jesus, Lord, same word we have in the Kyrios service, Lord, if, conditional, you had been here, if you weren't, my brother would not have died. He died. It's all your fault. Because you weren't here physically. I just want to make a comment about death. Death is final to man, but death is not final to God. Death is never final to God. See, death is just a wonderful thing to God. And I was so thankful that after coming to this understanding in John 14, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced when I said I go to be the father, that my first funeral was Ron Henderson, because I knew that Ron believed that and Nancy believed that. And it was just a fun funeral. It was just a fun funeral. Because death is no issue with God whatsoever. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay. So we've seen this before, that he had to be there. So before the crisis of faith, our relationship with God is one of sight, though we claim it's by faith, but is it the faith that he's looking for? What we believe is that we must perform or do for him something that we must do, then God will do for us. Your physical presence, you physically must come down with me to my son, stand over him, heal him, or he'll die. He has faith. He has faith, but it's not the faith God is looking for. God wants to take his people on a wonderful place where you just reach a point. You're God. You're God, and I trust you. Recovery from sin, blessing in life, whatever it is, and whatever you do. A lot of people go into a marriage problem. Well, I'm trusting God. But you're trusting God to make the marriage work, aren't you? Yeah. That's not the faith he's looking for. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't make the marriage work? Then you become angry at God. But I trusted you! You trust his conditional. If you trust in God in someone's sickness or in some suffering, disaster, finance, whatever it is in your life, but it's conditional. That's not what God is looking for. Do you just trust me? That's what he's looking for. A personal, intimate relationship. You Christians have a personal intimacy with God because they're always doing it, judging, watching, performing. And he says, I just want to say, I'm God. I'll be the one doing it. Not you. You'll be the one receiving. And I'll be able to demonstrate my love to you. Just receive it by faith. That was the word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you take these things that we have seen this morning, make them real in our souls, and open our eyes more each day in our relationship with you, our intimacy with you, our fellowship with you, through your Spirit, your Son, open our eyes to let go whatever it is holding on to. You might take us into that intimacy with you. We're learning from scripture that often that hurts. There's pain and fear, separation, sadness, all kinds of things go on. But we know, Heavenly Father, that you are there even though it seems as though you're not. That you do love even though it may seem as though you do not. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are, that you're not looking for our performance, but simply our trust. We praise you, Father, that you have demonstrated your love, that we might get a glimpse of it at the cross. To take us to that point of where we don't need a demonstration of it. We know that you love us as we trust you. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are. In the same precious name. Amen.